We're holding on Pei Vav Amud Beis, 18 lines from the bottom, so a little more than halfway down the wide lines. The line begins Al Shlosha. We're talking about the various details about Tshuva of Yom Kippur, and we know that an essential part of Tshuva is Vidui. So let's talk about the dinim of Vidui of Averis. A ton of Rabbanan, the Gemara says, we learn in a Braisa. Averis Shehizvada Alen Yom Kippurim Zeh. Good morning, Avram Moshe.
Good morning.
On the bottom on Pei Vav Amud Beis.
What? Where?
And on Pei Beis Amud Pei Vav Amud Beis, about the middle of the wide lines. The line begins Al Shlosha. Turn it up on him. Averus Shisvada Alein Yom Kippurim Zeh. Averus that a person said vidui on one Yom Kippur and didn't repeat during the following year. Lo Yisvada Alein Yom Kippurim Acher. So the first opinion is that he should not say vidui for those averus the following year. The imshana behen, if he repeated them during the year, then he needs to repeat them the following Yom Kippur. But if he didn't, so there's a few reasons given why he shouldn't. The Sha'arei Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah gives a couple of reasons. First of all, because it shows a lack of bitachon, as though like he doesn't really believe that Hashem forgave him his averus. And also he says, because if the person says only those that he did last year, that he did previous years, and he doesn't mention the new ones that he did this year, then it sounds like gaiva. It sounds like I have nothing this year to be misvada for. All I have is the ones that I had in the past. What he can do is, even according to this opinion, he can ask generically for mechila for his averus, and he'll have in mind those as well. But in any case, that's if he didn't repeat it. If he repeated it, then of course he needs to be misvada for them again. And if he didn't repeat them during this year, and that now he's saying vidui on them again, according to this opinion, all of our kosev omer on such a person, the pasuk describes kekelav shav al kei, like a dog that returns to its vomit. Ksil shona beivalto is like that, as a fool who repeats his foolishness. So in other words, why is he repeating and telling again about his foolishness that he did previously? It's like returning to his vomit. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, on the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, kol shekin shor meshubach. On the contrary, to repeat and say over about the averus that he already asked mechila for before, and still to have them in mind and be mevada for them again, is good. Shenema kifshay ani eda, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, I know my deliberate averus, v'chatosi negdi samid, and my chatos is constantly in front of me. Marsha says, we can be talking about, we learned yesterday that a person does tshuva miyira, and his deliberate averus are downgraded to chatoyim. So therefore he's saying, I still have those in mind, and I'm still saying vidui for them again. Ela mani mekayim kekelav shav alkei v'gemer. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, so what do I hold that the posik about the dog and its vomit, what is that referring to, is rather kidder Rav Huna. That rather refers to what Rav Huna, kidder Rav Huna, kidder Rav Huna, like what Rav Huna says. The Amr of Huna, Kivin Sha'over, Odom Avera, Vashonaba, when a person does an Avera and then repeats the same Avera, Hutraloi, that Avera becomes Mutter to him. And when it says Hutraloi, Sankara, what do you mean? It becomes Mutter to him. It's still Osir. El Ema Nasis Loi Kehether means he feels psychologically like it's already Mutter. He already did it twice. So therefore, he feels more comfortable doing it again and again. Now, we did talk yesterday about that Hashem will forgive the first few times and then not the fourth time. We said, according to one girsa, that's a difference between a yochid and a tzibur. But according to the girsa we had in front of us in the Gemara, we said that even for a yochid, the first three times, Hashem will forgive, but not the fourth, unless he does tshuva. So, but still, once he does it twice already, it becomes that much easier for him to do. And therefore, so that the pasuk is comparing to a dog that returns to its vomit. So Marsha says, I mean, the previous opinion didn't want to understand it that way, because he would say doing the Aveda twice is more like vomiting twice. What are you comparing it to, returning to the same thing? But so according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, though, it's fine to say vidui for the Avedas that a person did in previous years and has not repeated since then. Most of the Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in that regard. So therefore, that's how it is then. So you say vidui again for those. On this pasuk, the Chatosi Negvi Samid, the Alter Rebbe points out in the Geras HaTshuva, we're going to have it in the daily Tanya in a day or two, that the word Negvi literally means far away from me. So in other words, not that the person should constantly be obsessing over the Avera. That'll just bring him to Atzilus. But rather, they should keep in mind at all times that he did do this Avera, and that'll make him humble and more willing to accept, for example, if Yisurim or other hardships or whatever come his way, then he'll take it in a frame of mind, realizing that after all, I still have previous Averas that need to be cleaned up. Okay. Next, v'tzorech lifreit asachet. When the person needs to specify the exact Aveda that he did. So Rashi says we're talking about when he does vidu. It's not enough to say generally chatosi avisi pashaiti. He has to spell out the actual Aveda that he did. Now, not necessarily when we say the alchet and we have the two things for every letter of the alphabet, not necessarily is that considered poured as a chet, because even though it's fairly specific, that's also it's a nusach that everybody says. So it does in fact say that if a person did an individual Aveira, then they should add it in there in the proper place. Let's say, for example, an example they give is, let's say, for example, a person ate tray for food during the year. So in the Aleph, Salchet Shachatan al Panacha Bachilas Ma'achalos Asuris. And similarly, the other ones. That's if we say, again, we're going to have a machlokas over here, whether you should do that, whether you should specify the Aveira. Shenema ono chota ha'amazeh hatov gdorla v'yasa lohem alekezov. As we find, when Moshe is saying vidui on behalf of the Jewish people after the Chete Egel, he says, please, this people has done a tremendous Aveira, and they made for themselves gods of gold. So we see that Moshe is not just asking forgiveness generically, he's specifying the Aveira that they did. Divir of Yehuda ben Baba. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says no, he shouldn't specify it because a different girsa that Tagoisai Bach brings over here is Ein Sorich, he doesn't need to. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Ashri Nesui Pesha Ksui Chata, happy is the person whose Averas have been forgiven, whose sins are covered. So we see that he should keep them covered and not specify them. So what does Moshe mean by mentioning the specific Aveda that they did? According to him, is Kidir Rab Yanai. Rather, Moshe is doing that not to specify the specific Aveda, but rather because of what Rab Yanai says, that he's using it as a limud schus on the Jewish people. You know what caused them to do that, to do such a terrible Aveda? Kesef Bazav, Shir Beis Alahem Yisrael, the gold and silver that you gave so much to the Jewish people, Ad Sha Omru died to the point where they said enough. Goram Lahem, Shayasu Ala Kezav, that caused them to make for themselves a gods of gold. So in other words, Moshe is not saying it to be Mitzvada on the particular Aveda, but rather to be Melamed Schus on the Jewish people, that Hashem put them in an impossible situation. The reason why we use the expression "die" is because you have at the beginning of Parshas Devarim, at the beginning of Chumash Devarim, when Moshe lists on the surface of it, he was listing various places where he gave Musa to the Jewish people, and the last one is with D Zahav. So that means he's a D related to die. So he's saying to Hashem, on the one hand, he's giving Musa to the Jewish people. How could you do such a thing? But on the other hand, he's defending to Hashem and saying, you know what? Look what situation you put them into. Okay. There's a Tosfos elsewhere in Gittin that explains the svara behind them. Rabbi Akiva takes the view that you want him to, rather Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava takes the view, you want him to specify the Aveda, that way he'll be more embarrassed. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, on the other hand, you don't want to, you don't want necessarily to be like too much into the Aveda and mentioning and getting into the specifics of it that much. Now, does this relate to, now we had before machloikas, about when to reveal or not reveal Averas. We had Rav pointing out that there's a difference whether the Avera was well known by other people or not. Rav Nachman had said that it depends whether it's been Adon Lamakam, Ben Adon Lachaveri. Is this the same machloikas over here? The Beis Yosef learns that it is. And therefore, that would mean, since in the previous one, the halacha was like Rav, then over here, the halacha is not necessarily like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha would, in fact, be that there are some cases, at least, where you need to specify the Aveira. On the other hand, the Magen Avraham and then the Bach say not necessarily. I mean, then if it was the same machlokas, how are Rabbi Nachman and Rav, who are Amiroyim, how are they arguing with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Akiva, who are Tanoyim? So they say, rather, the distinction is, before we were talking about telling it to other people, and here we're talking about individually to Hashem himself. So Lamaisa, there is the idea then that when it comes to vidui to Hashem himself, at least when you're saying the vidui quietly to yourself, you should add, you should specify these specific averos. And again, you can put them in the appropriate places in Al-Chet. And of course, you know, during the year also, a person can, when he's saying vidui, should for a particular avera, should mention the particular one. Okay. Next, speaking of publicizing the avera that a person did, the Gemara says, Shnei parnosim tovim omdu lahem l'Yisrael. There were two good leaders who arose for the Jewish people, Moshe and David. They are Moshe Rabbeinu and David, and we see a distinction between them in how they wanted their averas to be treated. Moshe Amar Yukosef Suchani. Moshe asked, "Let what I did wrong be recorded." This whole story by Mei Meriva over there. So I want it to be recorded that I passed away because of that. Shenema, the pasuk says, Hashem wrote in the Torah, Yan lehem mantem bi. Hashem says, because you didn't trust in me, lachdisheni, to make a kiddush Hashem. There's a few different opinions among Rishonim what exactly the nature of their avera was, but the point is that Rashi points out in Chumash that and over here that every time in the Torah from then on when it mentions Moshe passing away, it always mentions Mei Meriva. Now that shows, says Rashi, that Moshe wanted that to be written. Because otherwise, again, it wasn't necessarily so well known what he did wrong. After all, you do have those different opinions what he did wrong. So the fact that it's recorded every time must show, says Moshe, that Moshe asked for that to be done, and Hashem granted his request. And a reason for it is, and we're going to bring a mashal in a minute. The reason why, and then on the other hand, David Omar Al Yukosef Suchani. On the other hand, David asked that his Aveda with Bathsheba should not be written down, Shenema, as he himself says in Tilim, Ashrin the Suri Pesha Ksuri Chata. Happy is the person whose Aveda is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So he wanted to be covered up. In the end, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Hashem didn't grant David's request in that, and it is written for us in Sefer Shmuel. So, Moshe the Moshe of David, Lamaha David Dreimer. So, what can we compare the situation of Moshe and David to? L'shtein noshim shalaku bebeistin. Imagine you have two women that are going to Beistin to get Malkus. Achas Kilkala, one of them for being Mizana. V'achas ochla page shvius, and the other one because she ate unripe fruit of Shemitah. Now, one of the dinim of Shemitah is that the fruit that grows during Shemitah year has to be eaten in the normal way. You can't destroy or damage it or use it for purposes that it's not usually used for. So in this case, to pick and eat the fruit of Shemitah before it's ripe would be a violation of that. So now they're going to punish her for that. Now, that in and of itself is an essay. There's not necessarily statutory malchus for that, but nevertheless, at the very least, we're talking about malchus maudus. We're talking about malchus that they would give dirabanan for violating things. Anyway, so you have these two women. One of them is being punished for a much more severe avera, and the other one for a much less severe one. So the one who ate the unripe Shemitah fruit says she doesn't want, please inform everybody why I'm getting Malkus. I don't want people to think the same way as the other one is getting Malkus for Znus. So am I. So therefore, in order to preserve my reputation, please announce what I'm getting Malkus for. So sure enough, and they took unripe figs of Shemitah and hung them around her neck. And they're making an announcement as they're going to the Malkus. This one is getting Malkus because she violated the dinim of Shemitah. So in other words, the same way Moshe, you have the whole Jewish people, or most of the Jewish people, have to die in the Midbar because of the Chet Meraglim. Moshe doesn't want that. If the Aveda is not recorded, then people are going to think he also died in the Midbar because of the Chet Meraglim. Therefore, he, like the one who ate the Pagei Shvius, wants it to be publicized what he actually did in order that people don't think that he did the same as the rest of them. Now, the Gemara doesn't continue with the part about David, but in other words, the idea is with David, you have the other part of the mashal. The other woman was Mizana, which David's Aveda also included to a certain extent Znus. Okay, we say, you know, that Uriah gave her a get and all, but at least on the surface of it, it was Znus. And David, and like the woman in this story, she has no reason to want that everybody should publicize what she did wrong. So the same way David didn't want that either. Next, the Gemara continues. If you have a hypocrite somebody who is secretly a Rasha, but pretends in front of people to be a tzaddik. So if somebody knows what he's doing in secret, then it's a mitzvah to publicize that. Mipnei chilul Hashem, because of the potential chilul Hashem, otherwise. Rashi says two things. First of all, people are going to learn from his ways. People are going to think that he's a tzaddik. And then they're also going to be learning from the thing, from the averis that he's doing, which he doesn't always keep. He may not always keep them 100% covered. So they're going to learn that from him as well. Also, what happens when Hashem eventually punishes him, then people are, if it's not known that he was a hypocrite like that, people are going to say, look at that. Even a tzaddik gets punished for no good reason, and it's going to weaken people's emunah. So like this, you have to publicize him, and that way, when he gets his punishment, then everybody realizes why he deserved it. Shenemah, v'shuv tzaddik mitzidkoi v'osa ovel, as the pasuk says, when the tzaddik goes back from his tzidkus, when he regrets his tzidkus, v'osa ovel, and he does ovel, which means injustice, but Marashah explains that specifically ovel means things that are done in secret. Then Hashem says, I will place a stumbling block in front of him. In other words, Hashem says, I will arrange at some point that he's going to be doing an aveda that'll be in public, and that way everybody will know about it, and that way everybody will know what he really is and learn not to and know not to learn from him.
Why,
a tzaddik who's pretending to be a tzaddik in public, but in secret he's a rasha. So then Hashem arranges, like we had the story with Kiddur the other day, where on the face of it, Tevavim, right? On the face of it, he's a good guy. He's being machnas chachamim. But then he's claiming that he doesn't know that. Then he's claiming that he never got their money in the first place, and he's stealing.
Do that trick once,
yeah. Well, yeah, okay. Well, once for each person. But yeah, there is, by the way, there's a story involving the Alter Rebbe where one time some chassidim of him come to him with complaint that there's a certain chassid who's acting so much like such a big chassid, and really he's not what he seems to be. So the Alter Rebbe says, gets a very serious look on his face, and says, in that case, there should happen to him what the Chachamim said should happen to such people. So the other people got startled. They didn't mean that the Alter Rebbe should curse him. They meant maybe he should call him in for Yechidus and tell him off or something. So the Alter Rebbe explained, at the end of Masech Tepeya, the Mishnah tells us that, for example, if a person pretends that he's blind or lame or what have you, in order to get people's sympathy and collect tzedakah, then Hashem will arrange that before he dies, he'll actually end up that way. So the same way, the Alter Rebbe said, if this guy is pretending on the outside to be a big chassid, then the Eibishter will arrange that eventually Taka will become one. But here we're talking about something a little bit different. Okay. Next, continues the Gemara. Shuvas ha-mukhlotin ma'akeves ha-peronis. When people, mukhlotin, meaning complete reshoyim, confirmed reshoyim, when they do tshuva, ma'akeves ha-peronis, it holds back the punishment. Now, Tosfos Hashanim says it doesn't necessarily mean that it completely cancels the punishment, because the Gzar Din may have already been sealed. And the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that once the Gzar Din has sealed, then it's going to happen. But what it means is that it delays it. Or another possibility is maybe our Gemara is disagreeing with the Gemara over there. The Gemara does bring an opinion over there of Rabbi Yitzchak that says that, in fact, even after Gzar Din, even after it's signed and sealed and everything, then Shuvah will help. So our Gemara could be going according to that. Well, I mean, we're a person who, well, so the Gemara mentions in a few places that nowadays we don't have Mrs. Bastin, but a person who did something that makes him hide Mrs. Bastin, then Hashem will arrange that he ends up getting killed in a way similar to that. It applies to all Mrs. Bastin. On the other hand, we're saying over here that if a person does tshuva, so again, according to one answer in Tosfos Hashanim, it might take that away completely, and according to the other one, it'll delay. But again, even if the Gzar Din of punishment has already been signed. Another point, the Gemara says, Shalvas Rishoyim Seifa Takola. The peacefulness of Rishoyim ends up being a stumbling block. Because Rashi says they're at peace, they're very comfortable. So therefore, that gives them time to sit and think about Aveiros. Whereas if they were having a harder life, they'd be busy with that and they wouldn't have the time for that. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says a similar thing, that lists a whole bunch of things that are bad for the Rishoyim and for the world. And on the other hand, things that are good for Tzaddikim and for the world. And one example of it is when the Rishoyim have peace, like we're saying over here. Another point. Governorship, being a leader, buries its owner. Rashi gives the example that Yosef passed away before his brothers because he was a ruler. So rulership tends to cause a person to pass away younger. Orum nichnasla, When the person goes into that rabbonus, into that leadership, he goes in naked, without averus yet, but odom yetzim imena, in the end, he's going to leave it naked. He's not going to take that with him. Olavai should, hey, yitzia kabia, halavai, when he goes out of it, he should be as free of averus as when he came in. Which also, that odom nichnas lava, odom yetzim imena, may be referring not specifically to rabbonus, but to life in general. Eov says on himself, for example, Orim Yotzim, Ibetin Im Yatzasim, Ibetin Imi, but Orim Oshuv Shama. When he's saying Tziduk Adin for all the losses that he suffered, he says, I came into this world naked, I'm going to leave it naked. So in other words, the fact that I lost everything shouldn't bother me that much. So the same thing. In other words, a person doesn't take anything with him, any gashmi stick a thing, to the next world, but at least hopefully he goes out. When he comes into the world, he's free of Averus, of course. So when he leaves, also hopefully he'll be that way as well. The Gemara in Bava Metzia mentions in that connection, when we say in the brachas, Baruch Atah B'Vayecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzisecha, that's what it means, that your Yetzia, that after 120, should be as blessed and as free of Averus as Bayecha, as when you first came into the world. The Gemara tells, Rav ki avanofik l'meidan dina, when Rav would leave his house to go judge a din Torah, Omar Hochi, he would say the following expression, B'tzvu nafshei l'ptolan nafik, with his own, out of his own free will, he, meaning I, am going to be killed. U'tzvu beisei lesu avid, and he's not accomplishing what his household wants him to accomplish. V'reikan l'vaisei azal, and he's going empty-handed home. U'levai shetei b'yaki yitzia, halavai, that the coming home after the din Torah should be like the going to it. So what does that mean? So Rashi over here doesn't really explain in detail what. Well, he does actually. It's on the next omod. Rashi says, "B'tzvunafshe means b'tzoynatzmai, out of his own free will. That I'm going. He says I'm going to possibly be killed. In other words, he's saying I have to be extra careful not to make any mistake in a din Torah, because otherwise that a dayan is treated much more seriously than the average person. And the Gemara tells us in Bava Kama that Hashem may even take away his nefesh for judging wrongly and taking away money from somebody who he's not supposed to. And he continues, it's not even like I'm gaining something for my family. My family would want me to be making parnasa, but a dayan is not allowed to accept wages for judging the Torah. And then, right, so you have schar batala, you have where he's entitled to payment for the fact that otherwise he could have been doing some other job meanwhile, but not to be paid for the actual din Torah. So therefore, so he's saying that I'm not even making any profit out of it, at least hopefully when I come back home, I shouldn't have any averus, like when I'm going, in other words, I shouldn't have ended up judging wrongly. Marsha in Sanhedrin, this Gemara is also brought in Sanhedrin. Marsha there explains it differently. He says, when he says l'ktola nafik, he means in a more literal sense. I may judge against somebody who's a powerful person, and he's now going to start harassing me and trying to kill me for judging against him. And when he says ulavai chitay, and he's saying therefore that I'm putting myself in actual physical danger, and ulavai chitay biyakiyatia. He says there's a din that sometimes when a dayan makes a mistake in a din Torah, then he has to reimburse the losing party out of his own pocket. So Rav is saying, at least I hope that I don't end up at that. I'm not even gaining anything from doing this din Torah. Halavai that at least I don't end up losing out from it financially.
Who would want to do that?
Similar. Well, that's the point. In other words, he's saying, yeah. Similarly, Rava ki avanafik l'dino amahalchi, but tzvu nafshe l'ktola nafik, or tzvu b'ayisi lesu avid v'reikin l'vayisi azol, or l'vayishite b'ya ki yitzia. Many kisvei yad don't have those couple of lines, and our goyis habach takes them out also, because it's repetitious. We just said that Rav said this. We don't really need to say again that Rava said it. Okay. Continues the Gemara, back to Rav. V'chi habachozi ambuha habasrei, when Rav would see a crowd of people that are following him in the street, to give him covered, so he didn't want to become gaivadik from it. Omar, so he used to say to himself, "Psukim from Eov, im yalal shemayim siyoy." Even if his renown goes all the way up to the heaven, v'roishe la'ov yagia, and his head reaches the clouds, yet kegelalay lanetzach yovid, he'll be lost and gone forever like excrement. Royav yomu ayoy, and those who see him will say, "Where is he?" So in other words, he's saying that they realize, in other words, even though people are giving me so much honor, I should realize that the end of it is that honor like that is not a permanent thing. Eventually, after 120, a person is gone, and that's it.
Is that Eov reflecting on it?
This is actually not Eov. This is actually Tzofar HaNamasi speaking to Eov, mm-hmm. and explaining to him, in other words, that therefore don't be so concerned about the fact that Rishoyim are successful in this world, because it's not like it lasts permanently. Yeah. Similarly, Rav Zutra was very old, and therefore, so when Kiyava Makatfale b'Shabbos of the Rigla, when they were carrying him on their shoulders to on the Shabbos of the Yom Tov, so Rashi explains he was old, so therefore they would have to carry him on an alunki, which is like a folding chair or something, on their shoulders to bring him to the Beis Medrash. And the reason is, Rashi says, in order not to be matriach, people to stand up for him, because in other words, first of all, it would be hard for him because of his age to get to the Beis Medrash, but also he himself would walk slowly, so everybody would have to stay standing for a long time in his honor, so therefore instead they carried him so that way they can get through quicker and nobody has to stand up, and then they don't have to stand up for him that long. So when they were carrying him and giving him such honor, Shabbos de Rigla, there's a couple of different explanations. Doesn't mean the Shabbos during the Yom Tov, doesn't mean the Shabbos and before the Yom Tov, during the 30 days before Yom Tov when you're darshaning in the halachas of Yom Tov. So when they were carrying him on their shoulders and showing him such covered, he would also have a omer. He would quote a pasuk in this connection, ki loyla olam choisen, strength is not for always, the imnezo the dur vadur, and will a crown last from generation to generation? In other words, also to make himself realize that he shouldn't become so proud from all the covered that they're showing him. Actually, the Sefer Tosfos Yom Kippurim learns differently. He says, the vort is, he's saying, why is it I'm so old? Why am I bothering having them bring me to the Beis Medrash when I'm so old? I should just be sitting home comfortably. Because after all, strength doesn't last forever. In other words, as long as I have any strength left to be able to teach Torah, then I should do that. And if that makes it that I can't walk on my own and they have to carry me, so be it. I have a chance to teach Torah with the little strength that I have left. Okay. Getting back to, we said before that peace for the Rishoyim is not such a good thing. So the Gemara expands on that point. The Pasuk says, Se'es pnei rosha loy tov, to show favoritism to a rosha is not good. That means, loy tov lahem lo Rishoyim, shenoysen lahem ponim ba'olam hazeh. That means Rishoyim are not so well off when Hashem shows them favoritism and then gives them a break in olam hazeh. Better that Hashem should punish him in this world, and that way at least he'll have his place in olam haba. For example, Loi Tov Lola Achav should nasa loy ponim by the mazeh. For example, Achav had at one point, you had the Achav we know was a terrible Rasha, but we have the story over there with Novos, where he had Novos killed in order to take over his vineyard, and then afterwards it says he did a degree of tshuva. And what happened? Now Hashem could have said, doesn't matter, you still are going to get the punishment that you're supposed to get in Olam Hazeh. But instead, Hashem said, Shenemar, Yan ki nichna Achav milufonai, or the actual pasuk says, Miponai, because Achav humbled himself before me, Loi Avi Harabi Yamav, therefore Hashem says, the punishment that I just told Eliyahu Anavi that's going to happen in Achav's times is going to be delayed. It's not going to happen in his times. It'll happen in the times of his children.
The punishment to Achav.
The original punishment was like this. It was supposed to be, so Achav himself was going to be killed, which did in fact happen. He was killed in war, but the original thing was going to be that his whole family was going to be destroyed right then and there. Now, later on, you have, in the end, because of this truva of Achav's, therefore, it was delayed a generation. Only in the following generation did Hashem send Yehu to go and wipe out Achav's family and get rid of Baal from the Jewish people, etc. But all of that should have happened originally during Achav's own time. And had that happened, then at least Achav would have gotten his place in Olam Haba. But because it happened not in his time, therefore he ended up being one of the kings that it says in Sanhedrin lost his place in Olam Haba. So there you have an example where
he still had his place lost, he just had a little bit more comfort.
Well, no, the point isn't that the Marshal is saying that's the point. If Hashem had not given him a break, then if Hashem had said that very nice, you did shuvah, but the punishment is still going to happen in Olam Hazeh right now during your lifetime, then at least he would have had his place in Olam Haba. Like this, he ended up continuing to do averus, and he lost his place in Olam Haba as well. Actually, the Malbim on the pasuk points out over there. There's a little bit of a nuance in the pasuk. The whole pasuk goes that Hashem says to Eliyahu, "Have you seen that Achav was humbled milafonai?" Since he was humbled miponai, then I won't bring it in his lifetime. And the Malbim on the pasuk explains, it means, in other words, you Eliyahu HaNavi, being a boss of a dumb, you think that his tshuva is sincere. You should know it's really not that sincere. Nevertheless, it's good enough that his punishment is going to be delayed. But we see, in other words, that it was, had it been a complete tshuva, then it wouldn't have been so bad. But it wasn't, and Hashem still accepted it, and delayed his punishment in Olam Hazeh. But the result is he lost his place in Olam Hazeh. On the other hand, the pasuk continues lahatos tzaddik. That same pasuk says pnei rosh alaytov continues lahatos tzaddik b'mishpat to pervert to change the justice that the justice that a tzaddik deserves in judgment. That means toiv lahem latzaddikim she'ein nois lahem panim b'olam hazeh. That means on the contrary, tzaddikim are better off because Hashem does not show them favoritism in this world and rather punishes them in olam hazeh, and that way they have their full olam haba. The reason why the Gemara is darshining it this way is either because the first part of the pasuk says seis pnei rosh aloi toiv, so the fact that it says toiv in the middle of there allows us to darshin as if it said toiv lahatos tzaddik b'mishpat, or the other possibility is just the fact that it says lahatos tzaddik b'mishpat can be read as though it was independent from the first half of the pasuk. You should pervert the justice of the tzaddik in judgment. So what does that mean? It means, in other words, that Hashem sometimes does that, and it's good for the tzaddikim. For example, tov lo Moshe shelo nasu lo panim b'olam hazeh. For example, Moshe and Aaron are better off that he wasn't shown favoritism in this world. Shenema yam lehem man to be like the sheni. Hashem says, because you didn't trust in me to make a kiddush Hashem, Therefore you're going to die in the midbar and not go into Eretz Yisrael, implying ha Elohim mantim me. Hashem is implying with that, if you had fully believed in me and spoken to the rock rather than hit it, then your time to pass away wouldn't have come yet. So therefore, but like this, Moshe and Aaron's full reward was preserved for Gan Eden, whereas if Hashem had shown them favoritism and allowed them to stay alive longer, then it would have detracted from their schar and olam haba. I forgot to mention, by the way, before when we said about the mashal about the woman who ate the unripe figs of Shemitah and was punished for it. Why is that particularly an appropriate metaphor for what Moshe and Aaron did? So Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, because one opinion the Rambam in particular holds, what did Moshe do wrong over there at the rock, is the fact that he called the Jewish people Hamorim, the rebellious ones. So therefore, Tosfos Yom HaKippurim says, it's one thing, the proper time to do that would be before he passes away. As you find, for example, Yaakov told off Reuben, Shimon, and Levi only before he passed away. And Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there why. So in other words, when Moshe, now ahead of time, when he jumped the gun and called them Shimon Nahamurim, that was literally like eating unripe figs of Shemitah rather than waiting a little longer until they're ripe and it's time to eat them. So in other words, he did the right thing, but at the wrong time.
Was it the same thing with David HaMelech?
That's a good point. The Gemara does tell us in Sanhedrin that Bathsheba was destined for him, but he also jumped the gun and took her early. That's a good point. So in that sense, David is also like that. But on the other hand, we're saying that David asked, and in his case, there wasn't a possibility that anybody is going to mix up his aveda with anybody else's. Unlike again with Moshe, where if you don't say what he did wrong, then people are going to think that he was that he did the same thing as everybody else. The Chetam Naglim, so he had a reason to ask for it not to be publicized. Yeah.
But when he wanted,
the woman who eats on the right figs, yeah.
They would ripen after the Shemitah, but she didn't.
No, the point is that sometime later in the year, yeah, or next year, as the case may be, they would have ripened, and then if she ate them, then it would have been fine. But like this, she ate them early, and she was over on the mitzvah, I say, la'ochla, that the fruit of Shemitah is meant to be eaten in the normal way. Yeah, what?
When David HaMelech asked for an extension of his life and Hashem said no, he said because he's such a big tzaddik, not because he would lose his olam haba.
In other words, the fact that David was punished during his lifetime for the whole affair of Bathsheba. He lost four of his children and he himself had saras for 6 months. That's what we're talking about. But before, actually, we weren't talking so much about David in terms of his punishment. We were talking about that he wanted that the whole episode shouldn't even be recorded in the psukim, and Hashem told him that, no, that can't happen. Here, we're focusing more on the fact that Hashem doesn't give the tzaddik a break in this world. He punishes him in this world. And yes, the example with David is that he lost four of his children, and he had great hardships during the rest of his life, Absalom's rebellion, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Okay, onward. Ashrehem la tzaddikim, another point about tzaddikim, how happy they are. Loy dayan shein zoyche, not only are they zoyche because of their own mitzvahs to good for themselves, Elohim is zakin livneim ad sof ha'doros. They provide schus for their children and for their children's children, for their descendants until the end of all generations. We have the example, Shekama Bonim Hoyloi La'aron, Shuruyin Lisorif Kenodavavu. After all, for example, Aaron had many children who deserved to be burnt, like Nodav and Avihu. Shenema HaNesorim, we see that the Pasuk describes Elazar and Isamar as HaNesorim, the leftover ones, implying like they're, as if like they're left over from the burning. And in fact, the word noisarim, Mephoshim explains, the word noisa rather than nishar refers to like the lesser level thing that's left over, like the hanseres mina mincha. You have the higher level of the mincha is the kmitza that's burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is only like the leftovers. So the same way, Aaron's remaining children are just like the leftovers. Ela sha'omad lehem schos aviyim, but their father's schos helped, and therefore they didn't die. So we see that Aaron gives schos not only for himself, but for his descendants in the future as well. Another point, some Mephoshim understand it, that what it means is, in other words, we're not talking about the first generation of Aaron's children. We're talking about future generations. There could be great, 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 however many times, grandchildren of Aaron who did Averis like Nadav and Avihu and deserve to be punished for it. But Aaron's horse helps them. On the other hand, Oylahem l'Rishoyim, woe to the Rishoyim, loy dayan shemachayven atzman, not only do they make themselves guilty and deserving of punishment, ala shemachayven livneim, livneivneim, atzayf kladertis. They make it, they also affect their children and their descendants until the end of all generations. For example, Harbe Bonim Hoyle Knan, Knan, the son of Chum, had many, many descendants, Shiruyin Li Samech, who deserve, who were so great that they deserve to have smicha as a Rav, Ketavi Abda Shiram Gamliel, like the example of Tavi, the slave of Ram Gamliel, where we're going to have in a few weeks in Masech Pesukah, Bez Hashem, where Ram Gamliel says about him that he's a Chum. That he knows halachas in brachas, Ram Gamliel calls him kosher haya, and even sat shiva when he passed away. So you think about it, he's not the only one. There were many people of that caliber over the years who are descended from Canaan. Ela shechoyves aviyim goyim lahen, but the aveda that their father did to Noach caused that instead of them being able to be on that level, instead they remain avodim. So therefore, so we see a rasha affects things for many future, for many generations to come. Next, continues the Gemara. This part is a Mishnah from Pirkei Avos, but then the Gemara adds a braisa to it that explains it. Anybody who brings schus to the rabbim, and aveda won't come about through his hands. Now, Tosfos Hashanim asks, what about, for example, Acher? He taught Rav Meir, he taught other things. We have a thing from him in Pirkei Avos, so he's taught all the future generations of Jewish people, and we know what happened with him. So Tosfos Hashanim says the difference is that we're talking about over here a person who starts out good. In Acher's case, the Gemara explains, in Chagiga, he actually, to begin with, even earlier, even while he was still a Talmid Chacham, he was singing Goyish songs, and he had Goyish books of philosophy that he liked to learn, which have Kfira and other and worse things in them. So therefore, he wasn't so good to begin with. But we're talking about over here, when a person is good to begin with, then Hashem helps. Now, of course, he still has Bechir HaChavshus, but Hashem helps that he's not going to come to Averis that easily, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second. There's another explanation also that kol mezakeh rabbim means when he teaches the rabbim in a way in order to refine them. He's not just teaching them Torah for the sake of that it's interesting and whatever, which you could say Acher did, but rather he teaches them in order to refine them beruchnis. So Hashem helps him, and then Hashem gives him extra siyata d'shmaya. On the other hand, kol machdias rabbim, a person who causes the many to do averus, kimat in maspikim riyadu lasis trova. The kimat seems to have been added by the censors. You don't have it in the Mishnah. Hashem does not give him the opportunity to do trova, which we talked about yesterday. It doesn't necessarily mean Hashem doesn't block him from Shuvah necessarily per se. If a dochak benichnas, if he pushes his way in, Hashem will accept his Shuvah, just Hashem makes it harder for him. And the reason for that is as follows. Kol mezakeh said, I mean, chet ba yod my timer. Why the first half? Kadesh lo yehu begehenim betamidu beganeden. But you don't want, it wouldn't be right that the Rebbe is going to be in Gehenim and his Talmudim are going to be in Gan Eden. Therefore, Hashem arranges things that he shouldn't have to end up in Gehenim either. That Hashem gives him an extra boost that he should have a harder time doing Averis. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Kiloi Saziv Napshi L'Sheol, you will not abandon my neshama to Sheol, meaning Gehenim. Loi Sitin Chasidcha L'Res Shachas, you won't allow your Chasid to see Shachas, which is another name for Gehenim. So we see, in other words, then, now why would the chassid ever have to see shachas in the first place? So the point is, in other words, that objectively, he might have had a strong yetzahara that would get him to do averus, but Hashem helps him that it's not going to happen, that it's less likely to happen, and therefore they won't end up in shachas. Marsha explains actually that the word nafshi is singular and chasidcha is plural, although it seems a little hard to understand that. Chasidecha would be plural, chasidcha is singular, so it's not quite sure what Marsha means by that. Maybe he had a kriyuksiv in his tilling. Okay. On the other hand, if a person causes the many to do averis, ein maspik in biyadi lasas tshuva, Hashem will not give him the opportunity to do tshuva. In other words, if he does it, it's going to have to be all on his own. And the reason is the opposite. Shlo yehu b'gan eden v'tamidim v'gehenim. Wouldn't be right that he's going to be in gan eden and his tamidim are going to be in gehenim. Shenemar, Adam oshuk v'dam nafesh, as the pasuk says, a person who wronged the blood of a soul, meaning in other words, he's guilty because of a soul that was lost because of what he taught them. Ad bur yonos, he is going to run until the pit being another name for Gehenna. Al yismuchu boy, they will not support him. In other words, Hashem is not going to support him and prevent him from falling into Gehenna. He's more likely to continue doing averus and to wind up there. That's true also, yeah. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ha'omer echtav oshuv, echtav oshuv. We said if a person says, I will do averus and I'll do tshuva, I'll do averus and I'll do tshuva. So, lomali lamema echtav oshuv, trezimi. Why does it have to be repeated twice? So the reason is, kedir Rav Huna, Amar Rav, like what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, that we said on the previous Amud, the Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, kivin sh'over, odom avera, v'shanaba, once a person does an avera and repeats it, hutra loy, then it becomes mutter to him. And again, the Gemara asks, like it did before, hutra loy sakadayda, do you mean it becomes mutter to him? Elanasis, like a heter, it becomes, he feels like it's a heter, so therefore, to hint to that point, in other words, now you have, the idea is, in other words, to say echter v'oshuv is wrong even one time. But the reason why the Korban Nisanal explains what the Gemara is saying is the reason why the Mishnah repeats the phrase is to also hint at what Rav Huna is telling us. That once the person says it twice, then it becomes very much more difficult for him to do tshuva because he already did the Aveda twice and therefore psychologically it feels something more like something that he can do. There's different other explanations. Among them are that if he says echtav asher once, then the punishment is only that Hashem is going to give him a harder time doing tshuva. But we're saying even if he does that twice, there's not going to be any more punishment than that. The maximum punishment is that Hashem will make it more difficult for him to do tshuva. But nevertheless, that if he still perseveres, he'll be able to do tshuva. There is a vote from Rabbi Cyril Salanter on this that says, and if a person does an aveda three times, then he feels like it's a mitzvah. They say also, there's a Musadik vote on this that says, why does Rav Huna phrase his statement so strangely? Why doesn't he say straight out, Kibin Sha'ova Adam Aveda Vashonaba, Nasus like a heter? Why does he have to say Hutraloi? And that leads the Gemara to ask, what do you mean Hutraloi? The reason is he Dabka wanted to say it that way in order that people are going to wonder about it and ask about it. And that brings that fixes it more into their brain. The fact that you have to ask on it and get an answer means that now you feel more of a connection with that vote, and therefore you're more likely to keep it in mind than if it was just said as a straight statement. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Echtav Yom Kippurim Mechaper, if a person says, I'm going to do an Aveda and Yom Kippur will be Mechaper for me, Ein Yom Kippurim Mechaper, then we said Yom Kippur is not Mechaper for him. He's going to have to do Tshuva independent of Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Lema Mas Nisin, Deloy Kerebi. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe? The Tanya, we learned previously, and Peheyom and Vez, Rebbe Omer, our Kol Avedas Shabbat Torah, Bein Osa Tshuva, Bein Lai Osa Tshuva, all Avedas in the Torah, whether the person did Tshuva or not, Yom Kippur and Mechaper. Then Yom Kippur is Mechaper. Okay, you said maybe it's not completely Mechaper, there's a residue of the Aveda left, but at any rate, here the Mishnah seems to be saying that's not Mechaper at all. So is that not like Rebbe? The answer is, Afilu Temer Rebbe, you could even say our Mishnah is according to Rebbe because Agav Shaini. When he's actually being soymech on Yom Kippur, that it'll clean up his Aveira. And because of that, he's doing the Aveira, then Rebbe would agree that Yom Kippur is not Mechaper for him. The Tosfos HaRosh explains the point of the Gemara's question was, the Gemara thought, given that Rebbe is saying that even Yom Kippur by itself, without Tshuva, is enough to bring a large degree of Kapara, then maybe at least when a person has Tshuva plus Yom Kippurim, maybe that should be enough for even this case. And the Gemara says that no, that it's not going to be enough, because Yom Kippur itself, we take out of the equation, because he said Echtav Yom Kippurim Mechaper, so all you have is Tshuva, and he needs more than that. We said in the Mishnah, Averis Shemin Onolamokim Mukhola, we said that when a person does Averis between himself and Hashem, then Tshuva is enough, depending, as we said yesterday, there may also be other things that he needs, but at any rate, then Yom Kippur is Mechaper for those. On the other hand, we said, Averis Shemin Onolamokim, a person also needs to ask Mechila and repay the other guy and so forth. So the Gemara says, Romi Leir of Yosef Bar Chovu L'Rav Abba. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chovu pointed out the following contradiction to Rabbi Bahu. We're saying in the Mishnah, but you have a pasuk, which certainly beats a Mishnah. It's in, you know, usually when we have Romile, usually it's a contradiction between a Mishnah and a Braisa or two Mishnayas or whatever. Here we have a between a Mishnah and a pasuk. So what are we doing with that pasuk? Eli Akoyan is telling his children who had been doing serious averus in Mishkan Shiloh. They'd been disrespecting the Kodshim. They'd been also the Pasuk makes it sound as though they were actually having relations with women over there, although the Gemara says a possibility that maybe it's just they were not bringing these women's korbanos on time. Whatever the case, so Eli,
they were accepting money from Venus?
No, it doesn't say they were accepting money. No.
Okay. No. But it was not. So but it's clear that they were
the
not.
Two major things they were doing is they were disrespecting the Kodshim, which they showed that in a couple of ways. One, that they were eating from it before the Chela was brought on the Mizbeach, and the other, they were taking pieces of the Korban, whatever pieces they wanted from the people, rather than just, for example, the Chaz of a Shoik that they're entitled to. And the other point, the Pasuk goes on to say that they were sleeping with the women over there, although the Gemara says it doesn't mean they were actually doing that. It means that they were delaying bringing their korbanos and therefore causing these women to have to stay there overnight rather than being able to go home right away, because you have to be there when your korban is brought. So whatever the case, the Pasuk says that Eli is giving them musar. He says, im yechta ish le'ish, if a man sins against another man, ufila lo yalekim, then Elikim will be Pilaloi. Now, on the face of it, now the word Elikim we know has a double meaning. It can mean Hashem. It can also mean human Dayanim. So on the face of it, it means man. So therefore, in other words, the point of the question was that we think that Elikim, the Rabbi Yosef Bar Chavu thinks that Elikim over here means Hashem, or Filaloi means Miloshin Tfila. So he'll daven to Hashem and Hashem will forgive him. So in other words, implying that if a person is choita against somebody else, then it's enough to daven and do tshuva to Hashem. So what do you mean that he has to be Meratzes Chaveri? Right? So he answers, no, man Elikim Dayona. So Rabbi Bo answers, no, the word Elikim in this pasuk doesn't mean Hashem, it means the judges. The judges will judge him. The word Ufilaloi then doesn't mean Tfila. The word Ufilaloi means they will judge him. They'll make him pay whatever he owes or whatever. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, if you're going to understand the pasuk that way, Ema Sefer, look at the second part of the pasuk. Eli continues, V'im la'shem yechta ish mi yispalaloi. The pasuk continues, if a person sins against Hashem, who is going to be mispalal for him? If you're going to say the word mispalal means to judge, so what does that mean? Who's going to judge him on behalf of Hashem? Hashem has many, many agents to be able to judge the person through it. So therefore, that means in the second half of the pasuk, yispalal means to daven. So Bapashtos in the first half of the pasuk, it also does. So we're back to the question, what do you mean that he has to be miratze the other person? The answer is hakakama, im yechta ish le'ish ufilu le'elekeim yimchaloi. What it means is like this. In fact, yeah, the word pilu in the pasuk does mean to appease the other person. So if im yechta ish le'ish, and then ufiloloi, and then he goes and appeases him and asks mechila from him and pays him whatever he owes him. Elikim means that Hashem, fine, we are saying that Elikim there means Hashem. Yimcholoi, at that point, then Hashem will forgive him. Because now he did Ben Adam L'chaveira what he needs to do, and now Hashem will forgive him for the Ben Adam L'makom component. The imla Hashem yechta ish. But on the other hand, if a person does an avera to Hashem, mi spalo bado, who's going to clean it up? Who's going to ask for forgiveness on his behalf unless he does tshuva? Tshuva, ma'isim tovim. He's going to have to do tshuva and ma'isim tovim. Just davening is not going to be enough. Marsha explains also, in other words, the vote is, if a person does an Aveda ben Onol Mokim, we said yesterday, there may be things that it requires Yisurim, there may be even things that it requires Misa, but on the other hand, all of those things require Tshuva with them also, so don't think, in other words, so he says, the word Ufiloloi in both halves of the Pasuk could mean to judge, Ufiloloi Lekim, in the first half it means that the Dayanim will judge him, in the second half it means that if the person might think, I've been judged and punished by Hashem, isn't that enough? No, you still need Tshuva or Maisim Tovim as well. So this is Eli telling his sons, in other words, don't think you're going to get away with this. You got to do tshuva, which in the event, unfortunately, they didn't.
Abaya and Rava,
there's different Gersos, were descended from them. And the Gemara tells us that ordinarily the men of that family would die young, but Rava, Rava, and Abaya were Osik and Toda and Gmilas Chasadim, and therefore they lived to older ages. Yeah, we'll learn about it in Masechta Rosh Hashanah.
But Abaya didn't live
that. Well, both of them, I mean, the Gemara said, The Girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara over there is that Rabba or Rava lived 40 years and Abaya lived 60 years. When we get to it, Masechta Rosh Hashanah, we'll talk more about it.
Then
Rava was the Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
So Rava must have been much younger.
According to that, yeah. But again, if the Girsa says Rabba, then yeah. Okay. Onward. If a person angers or provokes somebody else, even if it was only with words, he has to go and appease him and ask mechila from him. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Bni, im orav to l'reecha, if you were an orav to your fellow man, so you're an orav on a loan, tokat al azor kapecha, and you stuck out your hand for a handshake to a stranger, so you accepted with a tekias kaf, with a handshake, that you're going to be an orav for a loan, and now the guy is demanding payment from you," which the halacha is. In halacha, you have that in general, with a regular orav, the malva has to first go to the loiva and demand payment from him. If the loiva can't pay, only then do you go to the orev. But so the point is, though, the orev is on the hook. So now what happens? Or nekashta imre ficha, or the pasuk continues, if you were tripped up by the words of your mouth. There's actually a double expression of the pasuk, nekashta imre ficha, nokadta imre ficha. Anyway, continues the pasuk. Asezes efe b'ni v'hinotzo, do the following, my son, and you'll be saved. Ki vosa b'chafreecha, since you've come into your fellow man's hand, in other words, like you owe him something, either financially or verbally, as we're saying. Leich hisrapes or rahav reyecha. Go hisrapes and rahav your friends. So what does that mean? Im momen yesh biyodcha means if we're talking about a financial obligation, for example, an orev, hater loy pisas yad. The word hisrapes, the simple meaning of the word hisrapes, meforshim on the posik means like humble yourself, like abase yourself, like be humble in front of him. But the Gemara is darshining over here, meloshin hater pass, open up the palm of your hand and give him what you owe him. Because in other words, as we're saying, if a person, let's say, stole money or otherwise owes money to somebody else, then for him to have kapara, he needs to actually pay up what he owes. The imlab, if it's not a financial thing, just a verbal thing, harbe olav reyim, then urahav re'echa, we're darshaning rahav, meloshin harbe, bring many friends to help ask mechila. So therefore, so we see, in other words, that even though he only wronged him with words, so you were tripped up by the words of your mouth, nevertheless, you still need to bring friends and ask mechila. So you have to go and ask mechila with three groups, each of three people. And each time they're asking him for mechila. And Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Iyov, Yosher al Anoshim, he will make a line of people, and a line, Rashi explains, implies at least three people. The Yomer, and he should say, Chotasi, I've sinned. The Yosher Ha'avesi, I made crooked what was supposed to be straight. Veloy Shavali, and it wasn't worth it to me. It's like I didn't even gain anything from it. So in other words, therefore, we have three expressions of asking for forgiveness, and therefore that means that you have three groups of three people each. It could be that each one says one thing. It could be that each group. It doesn't even have to be. I think some of the Mephoshim say it doesn't even have to be that the three groups are necessarily that far apart in time. You take the three people and you ask Mechila in one way. Then if he doesn't want to, then you wait a little while. It doesn't have to be like the next day or something. You wait a little while. It could even be the same three people. You ask Mechila again using a different expression. And the same thing a third time.
And then you're off.
So we'll talk about that soon. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. So you have three groups of three people. It's a machloikas. The first time that you're asking mechila, can you do it just by yourself, or even the first time should you already have three people with you? And the idea is the three people. This way, it'll be more likely for, first of all, they're going to help you make your case, and the guy is more likely to be embarrassed in the presence of a group of people and say that, you know what, he's willing to forgive rather than look like an asa. Yeah. But Omer Rabbi Yosi
Bar Chanina. Better to go with three people at first.
According to that,
because once someone refuses, then they become more stubborn.
Maybe. I mean, it may also depend what kind of thing it was. Whether the person himself knows about what happened, whether the public knows that it happened, etc.
If he doesn't know about it, sometimes it's better not to say anything.
Well, that's what we talked about before. Right. Should you be mepharsim or not? That was the discussion we had yesterday. Okay. Onward, when a person is asking please from somebody else, motu means please, so it means, in other words, asking please be moichel me, He should not ask him more than three times. Shenamar, as we have with Yosef and his brothers, they say to him, Ono sona, please forgive now, va'ata sona, and now please forgive. So they use three expressions representing that you should, that you ask Mechila three times. Now, a reason not to ask more than three times would be because at that point, if the guy's not willing to forgive at that point, then the more times you're asking him, the more like the worse you're making his Aveda by not doing it. So therefore, don't do it after three times. On the other hand, based on a Gemara later on Omid Beis, there are poskim who learn that if you want to ask more than three times, gezunta heit. You're allowed to. All we're saying is you're not required to ask more than three times. Okay. The immes, if the guy died, and this means, in other words, that that Reuven, for example, insulted Shimon while Shimon was alive, and now before he had a chance to ask Mechila, then Shimon passed away. Maybe a sotah b'nei Adam, he should bring 10 people, umamidan al kivrei, and have them stand by the kaver. But Omer, and he says, chotosi la Hashem alakei Yisrael, with a pliny shechavalti boy, I sin against Hashem and against pliny that I injured him or did whatever to him. And one reason why you have to have 10 people is because, first of all, we had before, you have 10 people, right? If you have three times three people plus the person himself, right there is 10. So now also you have 10. Also, the idea is, since you're mentioning Hashem Elokei Yisrael, then you need 10, just like we have by Mezuman, where you say Nevorach Elokeinu only when you have 10 people. And then, by the way, now it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, by the way, we talked about this on Sunday, that if a person was motzi shemra on somebody else, then technically the other guy doesn't need to be moichel him, because there was always going to be people out there who heard the hitzas shemra and are not going to hear of the forgiveness. But if it was with a mess over here, then you can do that even with hitzas shemra, because we can assume even then it is midas chassidus, it is midas anava to forgive him even in that case. And the guy's in the olam emes now, we can assume that he would follow that midas anava and be willing to forgive. So therefore, you can go with the 10 people even for that. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch also that this only applies if the harm was done while the person was alive and then he passed away. If after the person passed away, somebody says something bad about him, then you don't need the 10 people. Then you just ask mechila from him wherever you are.
Oh, yeah. You mean if you insult someone?
If you insult somebody after they passed away, for example, yeah. Then it's enough to just ask mechila wherever you are. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara gives an example. Reb Yirmiyah havalei milsalot of Abba Bahadei. Reb Yirmiyah had something for which he needed to ask Reb Abba mechila. Reb Yirmiyah, in other words, had done something that offended Reb Abba. So Ozel Esiv Adasha de Rab Abba. So Rab Yirmiyah went to sit by the doorway of Rab Abba to wait and then be able to come in and ask him Mechila. Bahadi de Shadia Amse Maya, while Rab Abba's maid was spilling water out of the house after mopping the floors or whatever, Mata Zarzifa de Maya Aresha, some drops of the dirty water landed on Rab Yirmiyah's head. Omar, so he says to himself, look at that. Asauni ka'ashba. Hashem has arranged that I've been made like a garbage heap. Kore anafshi. So he said in himself, in that case, we can apply the pasuk. May ashba is yorim evi, and Hashem will lift up the poor from the garbage heap. Then continues the Gemara. Shama Rab Abba v'nofik la'afi. Rab Abba heard what happened, and he came out to see Rab Yirmiyah. He says, "Hashda tsrichna l'meit pakadaita." Now I need to ask you, Mechila, that my maid accidentally did that to you. Dichtiv leichis rapis urahav reecha. As the pasuk says, go and open up your hand and bring friends. In other words, now we're in the opposite situation. You thought you have to ask Mechila from me. Now it turns out I have to ask Mechila from you. Another example the Gemara brings, Rab Zeira ki havalei milsa bahadi inish, when Rab Zeira had a problem with somebody else, where there's something where the other person has to, where the other person has to ask him mechila, have a cholif betoni lakamei, so Rab Zeira would pass by several times in front of that person, umamsile, and make himself available, ki heichad inesiv, and nipuk lemidaite, that way the other guy can come and ask mechila. So he didn't want to outright come over and say to the guy, you need to be moichel me, but he would make himself available, so then that way, hopefully, the guy will get the hit. Another example, Rav Havalei Milsim.
He wouldn't just say,
I'll stay home and the guy has to come to me. He would go in front of the guy's house, yeah. Another example, Rav Havalei Milsa Bahadi Ahutapha. Rav had an argument with a certain butcher. The butcher had insulted or offended Rav. Now, especially on Erev Yom Kippur, you're supposed to be going and asking Mechila. This butcher did not come to Rav on Erev Yom Kippur to ask Mechila. Omar Yehu, so Rav says to himself, Ezel Anola for Yusile. Fine, I'll go and ask him, Mechila. After all, maybe the guy is not coming to me because he thinks that I insulted him. So let me go and I'll ask him, Mechila. And hopefully that way he'll also ask Mechila for what he did. Pogabe Rav Huna, as Rav was on the way, Rav Huna met up with him. Omele Lahecha Ka'ozel Mal, Rebbe, where are you going now on Erev Yom Kippur? Omele Lepul Yusile Plani. He says, I'm going to ask Mechila from Ploini, from the butcher. Omar, Rav Huna says, Ozel Abba L'Mikdal Nafsha. Abba is going to kill somebody. Meaning, in other words, what's going to happen? I know that butcher. He's not the kind of guy who's going to ask Mechila. He's going to end up insulting Rav further. And then if he's insulting a Talmud Chacham, he's going to be Chayiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. So now the word Abba might be Rav's personal name, in which case, why is Rav Huna using that? Because the word Abba also means father, so it's also a title of respect. Or the other possibility is maybe that's only a title of respect. I mean, Rav Huna, after all, is Rav's Talmud. He's not going to call him by his first name. The other possibility is maybe Rav Huna is just thinking this in his mind. Anyway. So also the Kamila Bay. So Rav went to the butcher shop. He's standing there, he's standing there near the butcher. Have a Yosef a Kapoli Resha. The butcher, meanwhile, was sitting over there and cleaning out a head of an animal. Doli Ene v'chazi. He lifted up his eyes and he saw Rav standing there. Omalei Abba At. You're Abba. What are you doing over here? Zil, get out of here. Less than Yosef Adoch. I have nothing to say to you. So he's not willing to ask Mechila. Bahadi de Kapoli Resha. Meanwhile, then he goes back to his work of cleaning out this head. As he was doing that, he's breaking the head. He's breaking the head open with an axe or something, with a cleaver. Ishtimit Garma, a piece of bone from the head flew loose, umachi bakue, and hit him in the neck with Kaplay and killed him. So sure enough, Rav Huna was right that he knew that the guy's not going to ask Mechila and he's going to end up getting punished min hashamayim. But at least, I mean, Rav tried to do what he could to make Sholem and ask the guy for Mechila, but the guy wasn't willing to, and therefore he got his punishment in Olam Hazeh. And don't mess with Tamil Chachamim. But on the other hand, at least we're saying, like we said before, Seis Pnei Rosh Aloy Tov, he's better off than Hashem didn't give him a break in Olam Hazeh. But Pashtus, at least he got his place in Olam Haba. Okay. Tomorrow we'll continue Be'ez Hashem, and tomorrow we will, Be'ez Hashem, finish the Masechta.
You know what?